there's no place like home for the
goblins lurking in shadows, edge haunting, whispers creep through the trees, yeah, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns and chilling dread, ghostly figures dance through the breeze, yeah, yeah. Spirits roam the night, terrors delight, Halloween spectacular fear ignites, with every corner's turn, shadows yearn for screams and chills in the autumn light.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And Jeff, always gets sad this time of year. The spooktacular's coming to an end.
The 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, Jay.
It is. The Halloween stuff is disappearing off the shelves. I mean, we're not that sad about it. We're a Christmas horror movie podcast, but it is sad. It is sad when you watch the Halloween stuff slowly start to disappear, get replaced with Christmas stuff.
It's just me, or did October fly by?
October absolutely flew by. It was nuts. I don't know. I don't know if personally it's because like I've been working at Spirit Halloween. It feels like it, but it like but you saying that like makes me think no, October just flew by.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there the other day, I'm like, is it because I'm just surrounded by Halloween shit all the time that like I don't think about it? And then, but you saying that makes me think, no, October just fucking flew by.
It feels like it did.
Like just I did some Halloweeny stuff. We went to Midwest Haunted Rails down in Mount Pleasant.
How was that?
Blast! Absolutely, really, very, very much like the Halloween vibes I kind of look for. Like lots of people, you know, spooky stuff. Like we didn't do the haunted house. We just did like the haunted train ride and the haunted trolley and kind of shit like that. But really cool experience. Absolutely a thing I want to do again. I think your nieces and nephews would have fun going down there. Like definitely worth the trip. Maybe get a hotel because driving back at like 10:30 and having to drive like two, you'd even be 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough, but
that does sound like it'd be fun to check out.
But it's a really neat experience. We had a lot of fun doing that. Went down to the slaughterhouse, did their normal haunted house. It was interesting to see how different it is when it's not Christmas themed. But even so, I'm just like, yeah, Halloween just hasn't had that spark yet. Like that one thing that makes you go like, oh, this was Halloween 2025.
Yeah, unfortunately, we got kind of spoiled last year with Terrifier.
Yep. Yeah, like that was kind of the standout thing, and got us kind of in the mood for Christmas early. And it's just, yeah, like even I've not seen Black Phone 2 yet, but doesn't sound like it's great.
I don't. I mean, it's hard to say. First one I didn't think was going to be good either, but it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is it Christmas or is it just winter?
It's just winter, but. It's implied Christmas.
Okay. Well, we'll think about it, I guess.
I mean, it's probably as Christmas as The American Scream.
Oh, well, that movie was insanely Christmas. Now. All right. Well, but we do got to get through one last movie for the spooktacular before it's fully over.
Yes.
So we
save the worst for last.
Let's carve the pumpkin for Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
God, why couldn't he stay gone?
Right? released October 21st, 1988. Hey, all right.
Solid.
Yeah, they got that release scheduled. I mean, 10 days before Halloween. You've essentially got two Fridays.
Yes.
You've got the day it came out, and then you've got the 28th. Like, I mean, you've got two good weekends for Halloween.
I mean, if you have a movie called Halloween out on the 31st, too, I mean, that's guaranteed money.
Yep. Directed by Dwight H. Little, who apparently was not John Carpenter and Deborah Hill's pick. They wanted Joe Dante, which, oh man, can you imagine that?
That would have been cool.
They had wanted, they had worked with Dennis Etchison on the script, but when the Akkads basically turned down that script, Deborah Hill and John Carpenter signed the rights to the Halloween franchise away. Dwight H. Little was the, kind of the guy that was picked instead.
Yes. Akkad's exact words were, "The script is too cerebral for the Halloween audience,"
which would have been great. Oh man, I once again would love to know what that was about.
Well, his comment kind of gives you an insight, I think, because he insisted that Myers needed to be a flesh and blood killer. So I'm guessing it was probably more like kind of the curse thing we were talking about before we started recording.
Yeah, but if you would have turned Halloween Ends into more of Michael Myers cursing the town of Haddonfield for Halloween.
That's one of the things that people say that they kept from the original ideas was the ending of this one, which I won't spoil right now, but.
Which, hey,
yeah,
I would have loved that. Once again, would have been really cool. Dwight H. Little, though, a fairly productive directing career after this movie, has pretty much consistently gotten work over the years. Some small stuff, some big stuff, like occasionally just like a TV show here and there, but also like, or like an episode of a TV show, but then also like multiple episodes of a series and movies. So.
So we're working director for sure.
Yep. Alan B. McElroy wrote the new screenplay, and also did most of the Wrong Turn movies, or I guess did Wrong Turn and then did the new Wrong Turn that is also called Wrong Turn. But then all those characters, like he got story credits on all of those for those characters.
And you know how fast he turned this in, Jay?
I do not.
11 days.
Oh, wow.
You know why he did that?
For a case of beer or whatever John Carpenter's deal was for Halloween 2.
No, because there was a writer's strike starting.
Uh-oh.
And he had to get the script done before the writer's strike.
Uh-oh. And also, because we mentioned it on the last episode, he also, we mentioned this thing on the last episode, he also directed Spawn.
Solid.
I think we mentioned on the last episode. I was like, oh shit, Spawn again.
Oh, you want to know a funny thing is the original concept for the story was Laurie is supposed to be alive and has a daughter. And then Jamie Lee Curtis was like, I'm not coming back. And then they were like, okay, fine, you're dead. And it's your niece.
I think it's her daughter. It's her daughter. Michael's niece. That's the thing, too, is we were also talking, you could still make H2O part of the franchise. Oh, Laurie died. No, she went into, like, witness protection. Yes,
I was going to say, it could have been a Sidney Prescott-style thing.
Weird to leave her daughter behind, but, I mean, I guess parents have done selfish things in the past. And
my thing was, how soon after Halloween did she have this daughter?
I assume it was the guy from Halloween 2 that she was like trying to go on a date with.
Because, yeah, it's supposed to be 10 years later, and this girl looks like she's 10.
Yep. We've got story by Donnie Lipsisis, Larry Ratner, and Benjamin Ruffner. I don't know, that's kind of all there. Just needed to list them as well. The great Donald Pleasance returns as Dr. Loomis.
The only good thing.
Nice to have him back.
Fun fact. Jay, a little behind the scenes information. So it was cold when they were filming. They were filming outside Salt Lake City in April, and it was pretty chilly.
April? Jeff, no way it's April. There's not tulips in the ground in multiple scenes.
No, Jay. That's impossible. And no, he had a hat on under his hood in the scenes where he's got his hood up, you know. And apparently no one realized it until like they were shooting the final days of the movie. And so they had to go back and reshoot about 6 hours worth of footage because Donald Pleasance had a hat on.
Amazing.
I appreciated it, wasting Mustafa Akkad's money.
Never mind that Halloween can also be cold. He could have hat.
No, Jay. No.
Ellie Cornell plays Rachel Crothers, and we will see her for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes in Halloween 5, because that movie's also a fucking mess.
Oh, Jay. Mess doesn't even begin to describe these movies.
Danielle Harris plays Laurie Strode's daughter, Jamie Lloyd, and we'll see her again next year in Halloween 5 and in both Rob Zombie Halloween movies.
Yeah.
George P. Wilbur plays Michael Myers in this film and then skips 5 but returns in 6.
Fun fact about him, he wore hockey pads underneath his Michael Myers costume because people said he looked too wimpy.
You can't tell, especially not in the scene where he gets thrown off the top of the truck and he looks like he's wearing pads underneath the suit.
Yeah, Jay. Seamless, isn't it?
Michael Pataki plays Dr. Hoffman, and maybe we'll see him again if we ever do Graduation Day. Bo Starr is Sheriff Ben Meeker, and he will return in Halloween 5. Nancy Borgennicht plays woman attendant. I assume that's the lady in the ambulance at the beginning of the movie. We last saw her as Mrs. Randall in Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Fun fact again, Jay, because this was filmed in spring, the opposite of the time where you want to film a Halloween movie,
mm-hmm.
they had to import leaves and squash and paint them to look like pumpkins.
There are some of the most wild-shaped pumpkins in this. They look great. They look fantastic. They are wildly shaped. Bob Condor plays Trooper Number 3, and we last saw him as Priest in The Wolf of Snow Hollow. Haven't thought about that movie in a while.
I don't know if you noticed, Jay, but in some scenes, the mask was pink flesh tone with blonde hair.
I did notice.
I know. Hard to miss, right? And they knew about it, but they had shot so much of the movie with the wrong mask that they thought, well, we're going to cut some of it, but we're leaving some of it in. No one will care, Jay.
It's most noticeable in the school.
Yes.
tagline, 10 years ago, he changed the face of Halloween. Now he's back. Nowhere near as good as, like, The Night No One Comes Home.
Yeah.
It's... Halloween 3, a much better film.
All right, Jay. Last fun fact.
All right.
Ellie Cornell, when she's sliding down the roof, her stomach got caught on a nail and she slashed her stomach open.
Jesus Christ!
But she finished filming the scene before she told anybody she had her stomach ripped open.
Whew! Whew! That's grosser than anything in Terrifier 2.
Grosser than any kill in this movie.
I don't know. I'd say some of these kills are pretty great. Mm. One of the few things...
I mean...
This movie has things going for it. Not
this movie has my favorite kind of gun kill, which is where someone gets stabbed.
Budget of $5 million, box office of $17.8 million. So, a hit, I guess.
I mean, it's a horror hit. Yeah. This is why they make horror movies.
Yep. It's easy money. Where to watch?
Everywhere.
You can buy a Blu-ray copy from Scream Factory.
You can stream it on any major streaming service.
The only place I found it was Shudder.
Oh, it's on Amazon.
Okay.
I watched it on YouTube Movies because it's just convenient.
But back in the day, could have watched it on AMC during their Halloween marathon.
You can watch it on AMC Plus. Like we had to watch Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Wings on the
classic. My personal experience, what I just said, watching it on AMC during the Halloween marathon.
My brother and I made an effort to watch every Halloween movie about a decade ago, and I still remembered most of this one because we were laughing at it.
This one was one that I think I get this one in five. Well, I don't even think anymore. I know I get this one in five mixed together.
Yeah, because, I thought the drifting down the river scene was in this one, but that's actually five.
I thought the Halloween party where, like, Michael stalks through with the pitchfork was this one, and that's the next one. I know, because I watched this one, and it didn't have it, so I was like, well, clearly that's Halloween 5. But yeah, it is kind of one of those things where it's like, they shot those two, this movie and Halloween 5 back-to-back, and... So, like, there are a lot of things where it's like, and then, you know, when you're watching a marathon, you're watching them all together. They just do kind of bleed together as one giant movie.
Oh, when Michael attacked the sheriff's house, he was supposed to burn it down, but they ran out of money. So they couldn't do that.
Oh. Would have loved that. That would have been great.
That would have been cool.
Would have certainly, I think, maybe ratcheted up the tension a little bit more in that scene.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
But yeah, anything else? Are you ready to do our synopsis?
Let's do it, Jay.
October 30th, 1988. Title card and opening credits over the greatest fall images of maybe any movie ever.
I was going to say, this beginning of this movie is perfect. It gives me the same feeling as the beginning of Trick or Treat.
Peak Halloween vibes, and we are a minute into the movie. Is it going to be uphill from here?
No, Jay. Nope. No. We're starting at the top of the cliff, and then we fall down.
We see an ambulance arrive at the Ridgemont Federal Sanitarium. The people in the ambulance are doing a transfer, the night before Halloween, of a patient to Smith's Grove. Uh-oh.
No, no.
The two people are doing the transfer, and Dr. Hoffman, I believe, comments on Dr. Loomis not being there.
Oh, no. He should totally be there, by the way.
They depart, and
Jay, you forgot to mention, they talk to the world's most disturbing and Italian security guard.
I was going to say, they're supposed to be Illinois. The dude sounds like he's from Boston, was my... I think I have one of his lines as one of mine.
Good, as you should, Jay.
This
place is giving me the fucking willies, I tell you that.
We see Michael wrapped in bandages, hand burned, and he's getting transferred, and he's just laying there calmly, not moving, until one of the people doing the transfer mentions that he has a niece. And Michael clenches his fist at this news, and then shoves his thumb through one of the EMT's skulls.
Now, Jay, I'm no doctor, but I think that'd be pretty hard, especially at the front of your skull.
Yeah, but not when you have thorn-based
But he doesn't have them yet, Jay. That's the thing that kills me. But no, honestly, I laughed in this scene because literally as soon as the word niece comes out of this guy's mouth, his fist tightens. I'm like, you could have waited a beat.
You didn't have to. Or, I don't know, if you know this guy tracked down his sister and he's been comatose, I guess assuming maybe she died,
yeah,
to then mention that he has a niece seems kind of like negligence on your part.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought too. It's like, why are you running your mouth, dude?
We see Jamie Lloyd, who has a nightmare of being attacked by Michael. And in a shoebox, we see a picture of Jamie Lee Curtis. She must be a big fan of Terror Train, as everyone is. Her adoptive parents then run in, the Carruthers run in, when she starts screaming and telling her that it's just a bad dream. Screen says, Haddonfield, Illinois, October 31st, 1988. Uh-oh.
Oh, no, Jay.
What if they had just waited 2 days to transport Michael? Do you think everything would have been fine?
Yeah. I think going by the logic of these movies, he can only act on Halloween.
The Carruthers have breakfast, and Mrs. Carruthers takes a phone call telling us that their babysitter has to cancel, and she tells her daughter, Rachel, that she has to babysit.
But, Mom, I want to get laid.
Yeah, Rachel says that she can't go out with her boyfriend, Brady, and Jamie basically says, well, if I wasn't bored, then you could go out with Brady, and runs out of the room.
You know what I said, Jay? Yeah, you're right. You're a pain in my ass.
Rachel begrudgingly goes to talk to Jamie and tells her they'll go trick-or-treating tonight and get ice cream after school.
I don't want to go trick-or-treating, Jay. I don't want to.
Yep. And then she does.
Yeah, and then she does, like every damn kid.
Loomis goes and criticizes Dr. Hoffman about transferring Michael on Halloween. and Dr. Hoffman calls Dr. Loomis crazy until he gets a phone call about Michael escaping and the ambulance being found.
Again, the timing on these things, Jay. If the timing was adjusted just a little, this movie would work so much better. Because he's literally like, I think you're the one who needs mental help, Loomis. Ring, ring, ring. Oh, Michael Myers escaped.
Oh, no. At the crash site, Doctors Loomis and Hoffman ask about how many bodies were found. And Loomis is convinced that Michael escaped. But they're like, we can't tell how many bodies there were.
The thing didn't catch on fire or anything. How can you not tell how many bodies right? there are? They're like, I've seen bodies be thrown 50, 60 feet. Then maybe, I don't know, look around. Yeah,
look around for the missing body.
Nah, it's a mystery, Jay.
So Loomis says he's going to Haddonfield. Loomis pulls into the Penny's gas... Oh, sorry. At the Penny's gas station, Michael murders a guy who's doing some work on a car.
Gotta get that jumpsuit.
Yep. Then he changes into his jumpsuit. Loomis then arrives at the same gas station, finds the body of the mechanic, gets jump scared by it. Oh. He then finds more bodies kind of throughout the restaurant and gas station, and then he sees Michael, face still bandaged, shoots at him but misses multiple times, and somehow Michael just escapes into a tow truck.
Disappears, out of frame, and I was like, and why didn't Michael just kill him?
Right?
He's clearly killing everyone else he comes across.
And apparently somehow the tow truck driving past the gas pump caused it to explode.
Jay, as you know, if a big enough vehicle drives past something in a movie, it blows up.
And then also blows up Loomis's car and knocks down power lines.
His stunt performance in this, I doubt it was him, but if it was, that's hilarious. But the way that he belly flops into the trash cans.
And then Loomis is sitting there, underneath some, trash, I think still shooting his guns.
And it's like, my God. And first of all, it's like, okay, a tow truck is not bulletproof. They're saying he's just missing every shot. Is Loomis the worst shot in history?
Apparently.
It's quite possible.
Worse than a stormtrooper. at school, two boys in cool Ben Cooper costumes, one a Frankenstein and one Mask from Mask, I believe Mobile Armored Strike Command.
Of course.
Make fun of Jamie for her mom being dead and her uncle being the boogeyman.
You're an orphan. Oh, yeah. You know, like kids do, Jay.
Yeah. Classic kids. Boogeyman, boogeyman. Jamie's uncle's the boogeyman. Every day's Halloween at Jamie's house. Her uncle's the boogeyman.
And see, I was fine with, again, this movie. It just goes too far, Jay. I was fine with the boogeyman taunting. That's like something believable. But then they're literally like, orphan, orphan.
Your mom's dead.
Orphan. One of my quotes, by the way.
Rachel and her friend Lindsay pick Jamie up from school. And they head to the Discount Mart to get Jamie a costume. We see them pull up, and as we see them pull up, we see a tow truck hook in the foreground of the scene.
Oh, God, Jay.
I don't think anyone was driving a tow truck, so we have nothing to worry about with that.
Well, don't worry, Jay. Apparently, you know, no one thought anything of a half-burned-up, bullet-riddled tow truck pulling up into town.
With a dude covered in burns.
Yes.
wearing a
bandaged up face because he doesn't have his mask yet, and he had a bloodstained jumpsuit.
Inside the Discount Mart / pharmacy is Brady, Kelly, and Wade. We know that Kelly is Sheriff Meeker's daughter
and establishes the town slut immediately.
and Wade goes to ask her out, and then she's like, no.
Fuck off.
Fuck off, Wade.
Yeah, and I mean, to get turned down by the town slut, Jay, you know he's got to be really lame.
Jamie goes to look. Yeah, Kelly doesn't do a lot for her reputation. Like, early on, you're like, okay, like, Kelly's this hot girl. Mm. And then, like, later on, just basically being like, if you're not willing to sleep with men, like, to get what you want. Obviously. And I'm like, did we really need to jump to that?
You don't know what men want, obviously, Jay. You're going to lose another one if you don't get with the program.
That stuff felt like it came out of nowhere in the movie.
I don't know, Jay. I think I'm feeling Kelly. Liking what I'm seeing.
JB goes to look at Halloween costumes, and oh, what a Halloween scene this is. All sorts of costumes and decorations and shit. This is another like peak moment in this movie.
Are you telling me, Jay, that when the movie does Halloween things, it's good, and when it does its normal things, it's bad? I can't believe it.
We see a bunch of different costumes and masks. Jamie looks through like a bunch of Ben Cooper costumes, and we see all sorts of different cool stuff. And in the background, we see a painted white William Shatner mask.
Yes.
That a burned up hand reaches over and grabs. Jamie picks out a clown costume, which, by the way, looks nothing like the clown costume Michael wore as a child.
No.
It's like silver and white, not or even silver and red.
Not even a little bit.
No. And like the one Michael wore was like yellows and oranges and blues.
It's still supposed to be foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And you might call me crazy, Jay, but I think the Halloween scenes work so well in this. Making like Halloween the main character of the franchise instead of Michael, that would be a cool idea.
It would have been a cool idea.
Did they ever try that?
She then has a vision of a little boy wearing the clown costume, Michael as a child, and then runs into Michael putting his mask on, and she screams. All the kids kind of tell her that she's crazy and that there's nothing there and that she must have seen something, and then we see Michael step away from like a shattered mirror. Yeah.
The crowd's like, you're crazy. You didn't see anything. This girl's insane. And then somebody from the back was like, orphan.
Stupid Jamie.
Go away.
What? Why? Jamie, you're so dumb. Your parents are dead.
I believe, yeah, that could be a believable line from this movie.
Loomis continuing on foot. He just decides he's going to run to Haddonfield.
Literally, this like old man who could barely hobble along with a cane normally, he's gonna walk to Haddonfield.
He's hitchhiking. One car speeds by, and then a car full of like, I think it's like cheerleaders and like the quarterback of the football team.
I believe it's some varsity athletes and some hot blonde babes, Jay.
Are gonna pick him up. In my memory, I thought, oh, does like one of them like flash him in this scene? No, they do not. But
I wish, Jay.
What honestly I think would have made it funnier if they're like, yeah, show that weird old man your boobs.
You'd want to see him, Jay. I'm pretty sure.
Loomis then winds up getting a ride in like this shitty car with a drunk reverend.
The shittiest old truck you've ever seen.
Reverend Jackson P. Sawyer, who's drunk as a skunk, but he recognizes Loomis as another man who is hunting the apocalypse.
Important note, by the way, Jay, he sneezes directly onto his open hand and then shakes Loomis's hand, which Loomis at first kind of gives him a side eye, but then he's like, yeah, fuck it. Why not?
If Michael Myers hasn't killed me, the cold can't.
He later died.
In Haddonfield, the Carruthers leave, and Jamie gets her costume on, and someone watches from outside the house. Jamie and Rachel leave. And then Michael's suddenly inside the house looking at Jamie's picture of Lori from earlier.
Make sure Jamie goes to bed by 9:30, Jay. If I come home at 9:31, she's not in bed, I'm killing you.
Loomis arrives in Haddonfield and is told that Sheriff Brackett retired, and he is introduced to Sheriff Meeker, who initially doesn't believe Loomis, but when he calls to verify Loomis's story, he discovers that the long-distance lines are down.
Michael cut the phone lines to the entire town.
For the entire town.
Yep.
Rachel and Jamie trick-or-treat, and they stop by Kelly's house, and Brady is inside, who tries to explain to Rachel. While he's trying to do that, she loses Jamie, all while Michael watches from the shadows. Michael is moving around town very quickly.
I know. I don't want to be that guy, Jay, but I mean, if you've already got Kelly, why are you bothering?
At the local bar, they hear that all the businesses are supposed to close for a curfew, and Earl, the owner,
better be a damn good reason.
Tries to call 911, and no one answers. Dun, dun, dun. So he forms a posse,
a mob, if you will.
Loomis and Meeker arrive at the Carruthers, find the picture of Lori and the family dog Sunday dead.
Not Sunday.
Best character outside Professor Loomis.
Easily.
They leave Officer Logan at the house.
I got a mob full of beer bellies running around this town, Jay.
At a power station, Michael just picks up an electrician and throws him into the transformer, which plunges the entire town into darkness.
So not only has Michael taken out the phone service for the entire town, he's also, yes, taken out the power as well.
Most of the families disperse, leaving Rachel and Jamie to wander the streets alone, looking for each other. Rachel sees Michael and is kind of chased by him for a bit. She runs into Jamie, and then they are both found by Meeker and Loomis.
I have a big dog.
They find themselves surrounded by multiple Michaels. Multiplying.
Loomis is like, oh my god.
But it's just a bunch of high schoolers like pulling a prank.
Don't shoot.
And then the cops speed away. And then Michael watches from like the fog covered street.
You better get out of here. It's a week into jail for you.
They go to the police station and they find the entire police force butchered. Meeker asks what they're dealing with. And Loomis says one word. Evil.
And at this point I'm like, okay, so how smart is Michael and how much planning does he put into this? He's disabled communication, he's taken out the power, now he's killed all the police force. It's like, this is like a targeted operation like a military would do, not a serial killer.
The posse Michael takes takes umbrage. The posse shows up and Loomis tells them Michael has come home, and Sheriff Meeker says, well, shit, you've now created a lynch mob.
Those men may be our only hope, Jay.
Your police force is dead.
Let's go shoot some guy in a park, Jay. It'll be
fine. Officer Logan goes outside to radio Meeker, and we see Michael in the backseat of the cruiser. And then he leaves as the Carruthers is alive looking for the girls.
Once again, Jay, I ask you, Michael can drive. We established this.
Yep.
He drives now. And
he's been driving since the first movie.
And he leaves this guy alive and lets him drive him to the house for some reason.
Yep.
Even though he can hear everything that's being said over the radio.
Yep. The drunk mob sees Michael and they shoot at him, but it turns out, much like Ben Tramer in Halloween 2, that it's just a kid, Ted Hollister.
Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't be stupid. Ever think of that?
Kelly and Brady, they start to fool around. They're getting ready to fuck by the fireplace when her dad shows up.
Oh, she's just about to whip him out, Jay. And then your dad had to show up.
And the others arrive as well, followed closely by Officer Logan with Michael still in the back.
Waiting to pop out dramatically.
Meeker works to secure the house and even asks Brady if he knows how to use a gun. And then he says, if I find you groping my daughter, I'll use that shotgun on you.
Oh, boy.
Which I thought was a great line. Officer Logan goes outside to get his riot gun and notices that the back door to his cruiser is just open and doesn't think anything of it.
Nah, Jay. Also, another question. You can't open police back doors from the inside.
I agreed. I thought that was strange as well.
So it's like there's no damage to the door from Michael ripping it off the hinges or whatever?
No, apparently he just opened it somehow.
Yeah. Good.
Maybe he turned the child safety lock off when he got in.
Maybe.
What if he hadn't? What about that movie where Michael's like, oh, shit!
And tried to get out of the back of the cruiser. He's trapped in here.
They think they've secured the home, but little do they know, they've trapped themselves inside with Michael.
You're not trapped in here with me. I'm trapped in here with me, Jay.
Jamie falls asleep, and Loomis leaves to go inform the Carruthers of what's happened.
Carruthers.
On a shortwave radio, Meeker alerts the local sheriff's department, and but also hears a report about the murder of Ted Hollister, so he leaves.
I'll send the state police. You let them know where we are.
He leaves the three teens and Jamie with Officer Logan. He's surely a capable fellow.
Yeah, Jay, because, you know, Michael only massacred an entire precinct of sheriff's deputies. I'm sure one guy can handle it.
This is where Kelly basically tells Rachel that she doesn't know what men want, and if she doesn't put out, she's going to lose more men.
I knew I liked Kelly.
Kelly then goes to bring Officer Logan some coffee, but he doesn't answer, and she goes and lights a candle, which illuminates Logan's body next to her, and then Michael's sitting in the chair, and he stabs her with a shotgun, pinning her to the wall.
Once again. Original Michael Myers, he's constantly moving, stalking, killing until he gets to his target. Apparently, he just decided to take it easy in the chair, Jay, till somebody came along and found Officer Logan's body.
He waited for that exact moment for the big reveal. Rachel gets word from the state troopers that they're getting ready to arrive, and she goes upstairs to find Logan and Kelly's bodies.
Jerry, this is the state police. We're 35 minutes out.
We're leaving in 5 minutes. We're 35 minutes out. But then they're also only 4 miles away.
Yeah, that's like, were you guys driving 25 miles an hour or what?
Rachel and Brady find Jamie as Michael stalks towards them. Brady tries to fight him off, but gets his skull crushed in for his trouble.
See, you thought Dr. Loomis was the worst person to ever wield a firearm, Jay? It's actually Brady.
Who doesn't even try to shoot it. He tries to hit him with it.
He tries to reload it, Jay, and it's literally the simplest gun to reload. You open the breech and shove in two shells, and he can't manage to do it. And I went back and counted, Jay, in the 47 seconds it takes Michael to slowly walk up the stairs, he can't manage to load and fire the shotgun once.
Impressive. Michael follows Jamie and Rachel upstairs to the attic, where he just happens to find a knife.
Of course. Yeah.
Rachel and Jamie climb out onto the roof, and Michael follows them. Rachel ties a cable around Jamie's waist to lower her down to the ground, and Michael attacks Rachel, causing her to fall off the roof. And then as you so wonderfully told us, Jeff,
ripper cut her stomach open on a nail. Yeah, nice.
Rachel is knocked unconscious when she lands on the ground, and Michael chases Jamie, who runs into Loomis in the street. They then run to, she's like, let's go home. And he's like, that's the first place they'll look. So they run to the school, and Michael's already in the school.
Somehow already in there. And I want to note, Jay, that Loomis sets off the alarm for the school when he opens it. Michael apparently was able to get in without triggering the alarm.
Nuts. Michael appears, throws Loomis through a glass door, and then stalks Jamie. And this is the scene where his hair turns from brown to blonde and back again.
And he has a rosy pink complexion. Yep. Maybe he was so flushed because he was happy. He's almost done killing everybody.
I finally ended the Myers family line. Oh, thank God. Oh, shit. Gets sprayed with a fire extinguisher by Rachel, who just appears out of nowhere, and she rescues Jamie.
And I'm like, all the shit that's happened to Michael, why would a fire extinguisher slow him down at all?
It's like pro wrestling, where a fire extinguisher is a weapon.
Yeah.
The mob arrives at the school because they hear the alarm going off. They rescue Jamie and Rachel, and they take them out of town. They drive past some police officers, one of them who stops, and they tell about, like, he's at the school. And then as they continue to drive, Michael has apparently just been
hanging under the truck,
hanging off the back of the truck this whole time.
I want to note, Jay, that the way they signal the police officers to stop is to blast their shotgun twice into the air and flash the flashlight in their eyes.
I'm sure that would not end poorly in real life.
Never, Jay. And I also want to point out that fuck the sheriff. He's an asshole. These quote-unquote beer bellies, guess what, Jay? They're the only people in this entire movie who use logic. Because they're like, oh, the state police are on their way. You know, we shouldn't go in there. He'll kill you. And he's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. We should get out of town. Let the state police handle this. That's what they're paid for.
Michael then pulls himself up the back of a speeding truck.
Noticeable difficulty, by the way. Not very shape-like, I gotta say.
throws one of the guys out.
Yeah.
grabs another guy's gun, hits him with it, knocks him out. Yeah. The third guy, just not paying attention to this at all,
yeah,
he then gets thrown out.
That's what I'm saying. This scene really is crazy because, yeah, none of the other men seem to know that the other guys are getting attacked, including the people driving, the guy driving and the two girls. They don't feel any of that going on. It's like a truck suspension. You would feel all of that happening behind you.
You would feel both the fighting and it getting lighter as each subsequent person got thrown out. Michael then breaks the side window, essentially rips Earl's head off with his bare hands.
Effortlessly rips a man's head off one-handed, Jay, after punching through a reinforced window, but has trouble pulling himself up over the tailgate of a truck.
Rachel then opens the door while driving the car, shoves Earl's basically decapitated body out into a ditch.
Nice, nice.
Continues driving as Michael's like trying to get to him inside the car. Then Michael headbutts the windshield.
Yep. He sure
causing does, it Jay. To like splinter.
Yeah, Jay.
And so she slams on the brake. So he goes tumbling out, stands up, and then she drives the car into him at high speed, yelling, "You son of a bitch."
Yep.
Sends him flying off into, like, I don't know, a playground that's like happens sure. to be roadside.
Sure, Jay. Out here in the middle of nowhere, yeah, yeah, there's a random playground.
Rachel tells Jamie to stay put, so Jamie immediately runs to Michael's
right
side
over to him and touches him. Yeah.
While Rachel goes to flag down the police officers who are coming. Michael then stands up, gets ready to stab Jamie just for the police just to unload into Michael for a good minute straight.
And for some reason, now guns can hurt him, even though they never have before.
The sheriff takes Jamie and Rachel home, and Loomis arrives saying, "Michael is in hell where he belongs."
Literally, you never get proof that he's dead. That's Loomis's whole thing, is he doesn't believe he's dead till he actually sees him dead.
Darlene, the mother, puts Jamie to bed and then draws a bath. We then get a POV shot of someone walking through the house and finding a pair of scissors, as the famous chord, the ding, 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 plays from the Halloween theme. A mask is then pulled down over the face and approaches Darlene. Darlene screams, and Loomis runs to see Jamie covered in blood in her clown costume, holding the scissors at the top of the stairs as Loomis screams, "No,
no!"
as the Myers curse is passed on to Jamie.
No.
Credits roll, Halloween theme plays, end of movie.
And unfortunately, Loomis does not shoot her. That would have been a hilarious ending to the movie if he blew her head off right there in the
middle. Now's my chance to end it. Oh, if he had done that.
Then it would have been a memorable movie.
All right, Jeff. Well, which category do you want to start with?
Let's start with the Halloween spirit, because this thing is all over the place, Jay.
Yeah, all right. How Halloween-y is the movie? How Halloween-y are the kills?
The kills, not very. They're pretty standard.
It's Michael doing the kills. Yeah. That's the only thing that makes the kills remotely Halloween-y.
The movie simultaneously has some of the least Halloween-y things and the most Halloween-y things in it, Jay.
It's a Halloween tradition, as we learned in the first movie, for the leaves on the trees to be green. but yes. But they're also to be
fallen leaves on the ground.
Orange and brown and yellow leaves and red leaves all over the ground.
The pumpkins look amazing, but also nothing like pumpkins.
You get like one like lone shot of just like the tallest, thinnest pumpkin you've like ever seen.
No one acts like it's cold outside or anything, as anybody in the Midwest around Halloween would know, especially after the sun has set. It's pretty cold. Like we said, there's the part in the store where she's looking at the costumes. That's pretty Halloween-y. But we really don't get much Halloween. There's a brief moment where you see like kids in their costumes at school during the day, which I also thought was kind of weird. It's like, what, people are just wearing their Halloween costumes to school, I guess.
I mean, I remember kind of doing that in like the early 90s, but it faded out very quickly. I want to say maybe like kindergarten, first grade, maybe second grade, we got to wear costumes to school.
But yeah, there's not a whole lot of note except the intro and the scene in the costume section of the store.
I'd say like more kids on the street, like when they are trick-or-treating, there's lots of kids on the street, which was a complaint we had about Terrifier 2, not enough kids on the street.
I was kind of disappointed though, because you really only get about like 5 minutes of the trick-or-treating part of Halloween, and then they just kind of gloss over it. So like, oh well, everybody got called inside, so there you go.
Yep.
Now we don't have to pay for extras to be walking.
Which around. Then feels very creepy. Like they do a good job of like building the tension in the empty town.
Yeah.
As Michael is, you know, stalking Jamie and Rachel through like the empty streets because the curfew has been enacted.
I wish we would have got a little bit more of the handing out the candy and seeing the kids in costumes and stuff.
I agree. Cool. I think it would have been really cool too to have like one of the parents be like, Jamie, where's your family? And just pull her into like a car.
Yeah.
And so then like Michael potentially like starts stalking a whole family or something.
Well, that was one of the coolest things about the first one, was the reason Michael was able to kill so many people was because everybody was out on the street for Halloween.
Yep.
And no one knew what was going on. I kind of missed that.
Yeah. Let's do let's do Monster Mash favorite quotes.
All right. Orphan, orphan, orphan. Your mom's dead, orphan.
You fucking orphan.
I got a group of beer bellies running loose out there, Jay. I got to get out there.
All right. So Jones, the security guard at the Ridgemont Sanitarium. Yeah, this is where society dumps their worst nightmares.
I had welcome to hell as they get off the elevator.
And then I've got three Loomis quotes. Those are my other three.
One more from the security guard. When he talks about Michael and he opens the door to Michael when he's laying in there under the sheet and everything, he's like, this guy gives me the willies.
All right, are you ready for...
lay some Loomis quotes on me, Jay.
Maybe the best Loomis lines in the whole franchise. It's hard to... I know they get better as they go on. We're not talking about any ordinary patient, Hoffman. We're talking about evil on two legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're talking about him as if he were a human being. That part of him died years ago.
Yes, I remember that one.
Michael Myers is in hell, buried where he belongs.
I like the sheriff telling Brady if he gropes his daughter, he's going to use the shotgun.
I like that line.
I like that one. I liked when Donald Pleasance is wandering around on the side of the road and he's like, oh, it doesn't even really speak. It's all the look on his face where he's like, oh, yes, these teenagers are going to stop and pick me up. He's like, oh, stumbling forward and he can barely walk. Then it's blow away. The look of utter despair on his face, Jay.
Oh, I was hoping those hot young teenagers wanted to get with the good doctor.
They were Jay's hot young teens. That's where they went from the other movie. But I like some of the preacher's lines. He's like, I could see it in your eyes. Saw you when I picked you up in that dust cloud. Hunting apocalypse, aren't you?
Yeah. He's great. I wish we had gotten more of him.
Yeah. You know, he would have been cool to see. I almost wish he and Loomis would have partnered up for this.
That would have been neat. That Jeff, that's a great shout. I think that would have been awesome.
What was it? Oh yeah, and of course, did you think maybe that we could sometime fuck off. Kelly for the win.
Kelly and Wade. Yes. And then there's also another guy, and I don't think we get his name at all.
We never figure out who that is, Jay. But he's looking cool, and he laughs when he gets shot down.
Halloween costumes, sets, costumes, etc.
Michael looks I think possibly the worst he's ever looked in this movie.
If memory serves, I think they bring it back around. I do think as the movies go on, they do bring it back around. There is, I think, the weird CGI mask in H2O, and there is, I think Halloween 5, the mask is kind of, I do think they get, like, 6, it gets kind of brought back to where.
But yeah, mask is rough in this one. As we talked about, a completely different mask was used in the scene that was just left in. Honestly, Loomis's costume still cool. He still looks like himself.
Yeah,
pretty cool. No real costumes to note. We talked about the clown costume, but it's like completely wrong for Michaels.
So. The pharmacy scene is awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe the most Halloween-y a movie has looked.
But yeah, overall set's pretty weak in this one. Honestly, there's not really anything of note. The sheriff's house is pretty boring, and that's where the big action scene takes place.
The sheriff's house having that like big stairway, like I think that's a really cool scene.
I liked it up until the part where Michael takes 47 seconds to slowly walk up the stairs. Yeah. And then I was like, eh.
And I liked the look of the attic. I would say a neat idea to have, like, maybe would have been better for like a Black Christmas.
Yeah,
like with like a killer you don't know is in the house.
Yeah,
as opposed, like if Michael had been stalking longer.
Yes, if Michael was a more subtle killer, I think it probably would have worked better.
But yeah, that's all I have for those.
I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot to talk about costume and set wise.
Yeah. I don't think the soundtrack's much different. I think they just use the classic theme in this one.
They pretty much just use John Carpenter's music, yeah.
Which, you know, to two and, well, three, I believe, does, act three has John Carpenter music again.
Yes.
Two is like a remix of it.
Yes.
But it is its own thing.
Legally,
I think this
distinct
one is just, yeah. I think this one is literally just, that's the Halloween music. Just throw the Halloween music in there.
We paid him for it. Do it.
All right, Jeff, Smashed Pumpkin, Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Ooh. Picking one Smashed Jack-O-Lantern was hard, Jay, I gotta say. But honestly, if you're going to make a movie about an intimidating killer, make the killer look intimidating. Michael looks so bad in this movie, it's not even funny. He's too short, he's too thin, even with his hockey pads underneath. He does not look intimidating at all. The way that they have to like shoot around the fact that he's clearly shorter than all the other men in this movie is baffling to me. I mean, he doesn't even tower over Donald Pleasance. And it's like, he's not even supposed to be a big man.
It will be like shot reverse. It'll be, you never even like really see them in the same scene most of the time. It will be like shot reverse shot, like Dr. Loomis. And then looking at Michael, and then Michael looking at Loomis. Yes.
If you want me to believe that this man can rip a guy's head off one-handed through a window on a speeding truck, he needs to be a little bit more physically intimidating. And I think that's the one of the main things that lets this movie down is Michael is just not intimidating at all in this. He doesn't do anything like crazy. He doesn't look intimidating. He doesn't move. I mean, he moves around town at lightning speed, Jay, somehow. But when he's in person, he moves like the slowest, I think, we've ever seen him move.
He has like limited teleportation powers, potentially only within the town of Haddonfield,
and apparently only when people aren't looking at him.
Yep. Do you want to do your Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern, because my fix kind of leads into my praise?
Oh, okay. Yeah, my Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern was Donald Pleasance, of course. He's the only thing in this movie pretty much that works. He delivers his bad lines with such dedication that you like the evil on two legs thing. It's like that coming out of anybody else, I think, would have just made you laugh. But you could take it more seriously coming out of his mouth because he sells it. And just the way that he's single-mindedly determined to get Michael no matter what. He never wavers at all, even when everybody else doubts him. And he delivers a great performance. I don't know what else to say.
No, I mean, I completely agree. Donald Pleasance, for me, Donald Pleasance is Halloween.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, the Halloween franchise dies when he leaves it.
Yeah. Oh, when he dies, I guess. Yeah. my smashed Jack-O-Lantern, the need to bring Michael Myers back.
Yes.
The thing I want to fix is that people felt like that was a thing that needed to happen. Once again, knowing about the idea for what this movie was about, what John Carpenter and Deborah Hill's script was.
Yeah.
I want that. Jeff, I want that fucking movie.
I know. So do I, Jay. So do I.
I want that. Once again, just like Halloween 2, I want that movie. I don't want what we got. I want what they had originally planned.
You know, Jay, it's almost like John Carpenter is a horror director and Mustafa Akkad is a slimy Hollywood horror producer. And they want two very different things.
But I would say My Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern. I guess if you were going to bring Michael Myers back... they've done worse jobs.
yeah. Nice praise,
Jay. You took Donald Pleasant, so I had to have another one. I'm going to kind of come out and say my final rating. I enjoy this movie more than two. I think this movie moves along quicker. Even though it is sillier at times.
Yes, I was gonna say it makes so little sense, it's baffling at some points.
But I feel like this movie, like two is just so fun. Two is like all the boringness of Halloween without like any of the soul and like spirit of Halloween. Like two feels so soulless. This one at least feels like it kind of has a soul, even if it's not John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Like
it has echoes of Halloween, I would say. That's about as close as it gets, but I mean, hey, it's pretty good. It's a good thing to echo if you're echoing something.
Yeah. And so this one does not feel like it's 94 minutes or whatever long.
It's definitely a better watch than two.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where two just and I think maybe even we said it when we did two.
Yeah.
Maybe two did suffer because like I think it's one that you and I have seen a lot.
Yes.
And so like just like watching it again, you're just like, oh, like all this again, like.
But I mean, honestly, the biggest thing two suffers from is nothing really happens in Halloween two.
Yeah.
The story of Halloween two is about 20 minutes, and then they built a movie around
true.
It.
True. But yeah, let's, I guess, final rating. Every episode of the Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it candy corny? Is it seasonally spooky? Or is it 6 feet under? Jeff.
Oh, you're going to me first?
I can do mine. It's fine.
I'm sorry, Jay. I can't hear you from the bottom of this grave. Would you say this is about 6 feet down?
Probably.
Yeah, it's 6 feet under. I was like, maybe I could make it, you know, candy corny. It's got the kind of charm in some spots, but it's also like got some of the most ridiculous crap you've seen. And there's so many other better Halloween movies I think you could watch. I just couldn't recommend this to a general person. I mean, if you're big into horror like us, you're a sicko. Halloween 4 is, you could do worse, a lot worse than Halloween 4.
Movies that are on either side of this one. Yes,
but a general movie watcher, I would say this is 6 feet under. There's not a whole lot to enjoy here.
A light seasonally spooky. It's where I kind of said like, it, you know, half of Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes is boring and half of it is like so it's like Shallow Grave is it candy corny. This one's like a light seasonally spooky. It kind, like I said, it kind of atmospherically, it kind of recaptures that spirit of the first Halloween movie.
No, I felt that in spots, but I was like, is it enough to tip it? And I was like, no, I don't think
so. Like, I think this one, and certainly in scenes, in moments, the opening credits, the trick-or-treat scenes, the pharmacy, this movie captures what it means to be a Halloween movie.
Indeed.
And I mean, Donald Pleasance fucking delivers an iconic performance. But I, at the end of the day, I still would have preferred the anthology idea for this franchise. Yep. I still would have preferred whatever John Carpenter had planned as opposed to what we got.
Yeah.
Whether it's the anthology or whether it's, sure, we'll bring Michael back, but it's this weird, like, shadow presence. Yes.
Michael is more of a concept than he is a person.
Yep. Would have loved either of those things as opposed to this, and this is what we got.
But no, Jay, what you got was Michael Myers is back. It's been a decade, but nothing has changed.
Yep. And then in another decade,
nothing will have changed again.
Nothing will have changed again. Although that one, that H2O, while John Carpenter's not involved, spiritually,
yes,
does kind of feel like the original idea for Halloween 2.
That's what I was going to say. I was gonna say, if anything spiritually captures John Carpenter, I think it would have to be H2O.
Yep. If it's not Halloween and Halloween 3, the two movies that he actually wanted to be the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
But ooh, ow, ooh, I took a took a bite of that Heidi Ho bar, and there's a razor blade in it.
Oh man,
I'm gonna go stab that old man who drove the bus. I'll be right back. Jeff, do you have any reviews?
Oh Jay, do I have reviews? 5 stars. Finally, Michael comes home again. After the horrible detour that was Season of the Witch,
wrong.
Halloween 4 gives fans exactly what they've been craving since 81. That cold, unstoppable shape moving through the shadows of Haddonfield. It doesn't, though. Okay. He's very stoppable. It turns out.
Very stoppable.
Danielle Harris is phenomenal as Jamie Lloyd. She's not. She's one of the worst parts of the movie, in my opinion, but that's beside the point.
Also, random aside, I had thought Danielle Harris was like more of a like Felissa Rose, like just did horror movie after horror movie. No, like she kind of just bowed out like after the Rob Zombie Halloween. I was kind of shocked to learn that, because in my head I'm like, oh, she's just been doing like indie horror shit for years. No, she hasn't.
Nope. I think she was probably planning that as like her big comeback, and then the Rob Zombie Halloween's kind of bombed.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Donald Pleasance brings back that manic, desperate energy that made Loomis iconic. The fall atmosphere, the blue-gray lighting, the howling wind. It feels like Halloween night. Meh. This is the greatest Halloween movie, bar the original, of course. And endlessly rewatchable. Every October, I queue it up again.
Jeff, I can do you one better. Not only is this the one of the greatest, best one out of all 8 films.
Well, I'm going to kill myself now, Jay. Thank you.
10 out of 10.
Ah.
Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers takes place 10 years after the original and marks the return of Myers to the screen after a 7-year absence since the failed Halloween 3. I don't think it failed.
No, it didn't. It was just not as successful as they wanted.
Halloween 4 starts out showing Michael surviving the fiery explosion thought to have killed him in part 2, but rather being in a coma for the last decade.
Of course.
Now awake, he goes after his young niece, Jamie Lloyd, the orphan daughter of heroine Laurie Strode. Orphan, Jamie is an orphan. Dr. Loomis, who also survived the explosion, now scarred and crippled, races to stop him.
This explosion didn't do shit to anybody, yeah. Jay.
Halloween 4 is the best of all 8 films, in my opinion. Because the atmosphere and the plot are the most original.
What?
Along with the superior script penned by Alan McElroy. Danielle Harris is amazing as Jamie, and Ellie Cornell does a great job as Rachel.
No, she doesn't.
The real star of the film is Donald Pleasance.
Yes, I mean, that's true.
Reprising his role as Loomis, he is an amazing hero and a great character, especially in the scene at the gas station where he confronts Myers. He shows absolutely no fear whatsoever. Best film out of all 8. Better than 5, 6, H2O Resurrection, the remake, and H2. Wait, what?
What?
Wait, what? That's more than 8.
Whatever, Jay. Whatever.
I'm so confused.
I don't know. I think it's a bit of a stretch to call Dr. Loomis a hero. I mean, he wants to stop Michael Myers, and he pretty much will do anything to do that.
Yep.
And whether it's good or bad. Okay, Jay. 10 out of 10. Director Dwight H. Little resurrects more than a franchise. He resurrects dread itself. Shot on a tight schedule in Utah, Halloween 4 captures the eerie stillness of small-town Americana under siege. The camera lingers on empty streets, flickering lights, and jack-o'-lantern faces, while the score hums like an electric current of doom. George P. Wilbur, Michael, his physicality as Myers, Jay, his physicality as Myers is menacing but deliberate, a phantom with weight. He's the opposite of that.
I'd certainly say a phantom, as in you don't know he's there.
The film's ending, where innocence mirrors evil, is poetic in its cruelty. What?
Oh, I guess they're... I was like, the end, like... I was thinking about the scene where Jamie kneels down next to him and then he stands up. I guess like Jamie's innocence you know, what putting on the clown and stabbing her foster mom or whatever.
Few slashers end on such a chilling note. This could quite possibly be the greatest slasher movie of all time, Jay.
Black Christmas arguably ends on a more depressing note.
Jay, it's this one.
10 out of 10. A great, fun, action, horror, suspenseful sequel. My favorite Halloween movie of all time, for many reasons, and then proceeds not to list any.
Nah, Jay, we don't. You just need to know that there are many.
There are many. His reasons are legion, for they are many.
God, I hope Jesus cast this movie into some pigs, Jay.
All right, I think I have one more.
Are you ready for mine? 5 stars. I just rewatched Halloween 4 for the 10th time, and holy smokes, what a ride. This is peak late 80s slasher goodness. Creepy atmosphere, check. Awesome kills, double check. Donald Pleasance yelling like a maniac, triple check. The rooftop chase scene is pure adrenaline. It is not.
It's not.
It is the opposite of pure adrenaline, whatever that is. Depressive, I don't know, Xanax dose or something. It's the least exciting thing I think I've ever seen.
It looks like parts of that scene look like they are shot on a soundstage where there's just a roof set.
And that ending, Jay, still gives me goosebumps. They don't make horror movies like this anymore. Practical effects, real suspense, no CGI whatsoever.
I mean, wasn't really an option.
I was going to
say, wasn't much of an option.
They would have used it if they had it, I'm sure. Perfect Halloween watch with a bowl of candy corn and a blanket. Oh, yeah. Classically, people snuggle up with a bowl of candy corn, Jay, and a blanket. And I want to note this. George P. Wilbur is possibly the best Michael Myers.
I mean, he is my Michael Myers because he plays him in 6. But once again, doesn't mean he's necessarily good.
Nah, he's the most physically intimidating man I've ever seen, Jay.
10 out of 10. Triumphant rebirth. This film marked the new beginning of Michael Myers and set the series back into business. At first I thought, set the series back? Most definitely. And I know that all the Halloween fans will agree with me here. Jeff, are we in agreement that this set the series back into business?
No.
We're Halloween fans.
No, it didn't. It allowed the series to continue limping along at barely profitable status.
It has a wonderful plot. Well done acting. Well done in the category of a steak, sure. Some major jolts and suspense and even a little bit of emotional drama within. My favorite part of this whole movie is the very last scene. I'm not spoiling it, but it involves Jamie Lloyd, the niece of Michael Myers. The very, very last shot of the whole movie, to me, is the most terrifying of all. It's the scariest thing that you could ever see in a horror movie, and it's not death. You'll just have to see it, I guess. Wink emoji.
Jay, what movie did this guy watch?
I don't know.
Because it wasn't this movie.
It wasn't this movie. I mean, you're right. This person's right. Halloween 3, the very last scene, as Tom Atkins is yelling for them to turn off the TV so all those children don't have their heads turned into bugs, is the scariest way to end a movie.
All right, Jay, I have one more 5-star review, and then I have a 0-star review.
All right.
All right. I could write a love letter to this movie, Jay. 5 stars.
Dear Halloween 4, kiss, kiss, I love you.
The wind, the leaves, Jamie Lloyd. It's everything Halloween should be. Danielle Harris deserved an Oscar for this performance. When Michael steps out of the darkness behind the truck, I literally squealed.
All right.
And the ending, it broke my heart in the best way. I'm still not over it. Halloween 4 isn't just a movie. It's a mood. This is a Twitter review, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Halloween 4 mood.
Halloween 4 is a mood.
Feeling cute. Might struggle to climb over a tailgate later.
Halloween. Oh, Jeff, I've got a TikTok version of that. Halloween 4 core.
Oh, no.
That's what we call it on TikTok, I guess.
I think I'm going to be sick, Jay.
All right, now, 0-star review.
0 stars, Jay. The night he should have stayed dead.
So far tracks.
If there were a negative star rating, this movie would tunnel straight through it,
oh, boo,
crawl out the other side, and find new ways to disappoint me. Halloween 4 is what happens when you dig up a franchise's corpse, slap a rubber mask on it, and pray no one notices the smell. First off, no one with any sense wanted this to happen. No one wanted this to exist. Literally, not even the guy who made up Michael Myers wanted him to continue living. Secondly, that mask, my God. Michael Myers looks like he raided a Party City clearance bin at 11:59 p.m. on October 30th. The scene where the pink face, blonde hair, and the not-so-creepy googly eyes pop up, I laugh instead of scream. Donald Pleasance, bless him, spends the entire movie shouting like a preacher who's lost his faith. He's evil! We get it, Doc. He's evil. But I know you didn't really have a choice about being in this movie, so I forgive you. The script was written in 11 days, and boy does it show. The dialogue sounds like it was fed through a haunted typewriter powered by regret. Let's get out of here. He's coming. Rinse and repeat until the movie's over. The kills are boring, but there's a few creative ones, so I'll give it a couple points. The pacing is sludge. The entire third act is written like a bad sitcom. I don't know what's scarier, the fact that people defend this movie, or the idea that it spawned two more sequels just like it, but somehow worse.
Whoa, hey, whoa. Let's not talk about Halloween 6 that way.
If you're looking for chills, watch A Refrigerator instead. If you're looking for thrills, watch Paint Dry. At least the paint will have more expression than Michael's blonde-haired mask. There you go, Jeff.
Well, Jeff, let's that was fun. Let's man, honestly, I think the most fun we've had with reviews have been maybe the Halloween movies. Trick or Treat list. Michael's got to move up, right? He has skull crushing
yes
strength.
And, yes and no, Jay. I mean, he gets killed by guns in this, seemingly.
He has teleportation powers.
He does have teleportation powers now, though. But he also struggles to lift himself up over the tailgate of a truck. So his super strength seems to come and go.
And maybe has the ability to possess people?
I guess. Maybe.
Pass on his curse?
He passes on a curse somehow, even though he's not dead, as we'll find out in 5.
And we don't know anything about a potential thorn.
And... he's wildly inconsistent in this movie, so I don't know, Jay.
Well, maybe he'll move up next year. Sorry, Michael. Better luck next year, bud.
Better luck next time.
Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Garbage day!
Huh?
No!
Oh, God. He has things. Terrible things. Damn it, Jay, you're evil on two legs.
Terrible's right. Jeff, the listeners know, we love to get Burger King for the last episode of the Halloween Spectacular.
Yeah, we love it, Jay. We love it so much.
And I can tell you right now, Burger King fucked us. Here's a Coke.
Oh, thanks. Did they get that right, at least?
I don't know, for a second, your Coke looked like it was clear. And I was like, oh no, did they get that wrong, too?
That would have been fucking hilarious. Give us two Sprites and the wrong meals. And a note in there that says, fuck you, whore, for the holidays.
We know what you do. All right, so you're supposed to have the mummy mozzarella sticks. That is just a chicken fries box.
They're mozzarella sticks.
I'm supposed to have the Dracula's chicken tenders. Also not, those are supposed to be in a coffin-shaped container. We did not get those.
Sure didn't, Jay.
And here's your jack-o'-lantern whopper. Let's see if the buns are orange this time or if they fucked us.
Ice cold. Just the way I like my whopper.
Hey, I do like the... Oh!
Hey, it's an orange bun.
Hey, I love the wrapper. They got the wrapper, right? We got a jack-o'-lantern on the wrapper.
No, I love it. Very good.
And then to wash it all down... I did get the cool Burger King Halloween bucket.
Nice.
I got us the Franken Sundays.
Nice.
All right, here. I'll give you a Fang chicken tender if you want to give me a mummy
mozzarella stick.
Yeah. Don't give me the one. I don't want the one you broke in half.
That was broken when I got it.
They look like they're supposed to be chicken fries.
They are.
And they're not.
They're chicken fries, Jay. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Which one are we doing
let's
first?
Let's do the mummy mozzarella sticks, I guess. Right. Ice cold, just the way I like it. Mm-hmm.
It's a Burger King mozzarella stick.
Honestly, right? I've had worse mozzarella sticks. This isn't that bad.
No, it's not. It's actually one of the few things my wife will get at Burger King when we go.
I'm actually impressed with... Damn, Burger King, that mozzarella stick's pretty tasty.
Shitty that it didn't come in our mummy sarcophagus. Right. Whatever.
Motherfuckers. All right.
We're batting it up.
Bat. Either they're bat or they're Dracula Fang chicken tenders.
They look like both, so it's hard to say. Eh. Pretty middle of the road.
Honestly?
Not terrible.
Not kind of reminiscent of the old chicken tenders, the Burger King's real old chicken tenders back when we were kids.
Yeah. I don't hate it. So far, pretty solid.
Yep.
Got to get some real Whopper flavor here, Jay. I'm going to spoon off all the mayonnaise.
Got to taste that flame grilled.
It's broiled, Jay. Trust us.
Oh, what's the, I don't know. I want to look at to see what makes it a jack-o'-lantern Whopper.
Yeah, I was going to say, what makes this unique?
Besides the neon orange bun. I do really like the wrapper, though. I like the jack-o'-lantern wrapper.
The packaging's cool. You know what it really makes me wish, Jay? We could have seen the packaging on the other items.
Right. Well, here, you can get at least an image of the other two on the app.
That would have been cool. Ooh, yay. The bottom bun is super hard, Jay, just like I like.
All right, let's see. Does it tell me? Celebrate Halloween with the new Jack-O-Lantern Whopper featuring a 1/4-pound flame-grilled beef on naturally cooked orange bun. The Jack-O-Lantern Whopper is topped with American cheese, crispy bacon, tomatoes, lettuce, onions, pickles, ketchup, and mayo.
So it's a standard Whopper.
It's a standard Whopper with bacon cheese, and a naturally orange bun.
Yeah, naturally orange, Jay. As buns often occur in the wild.
Yep.
They found a bun bush.
Also black sesame seeds.
All that fake smoke flavor. I love it, Jay.
You know, if this wasn't ice cold, it might actually be pretty good.
Not bad. CJ, the mistake a lot of people make is Burger King's meat is awful. It's like some of the worst fast food meat you can get. You want to get a single Whopper. Never go double. God, for the love of God, never go triple. Because the more you taste the meat, the worse it gets.
Straight.
You want to taste the heat, not the meat. The opposite of Hank Hill.
Damn it, Burger King.
Second mozzarella stick, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Mm.
That one looks more like a bat, the one I just handed you.
Yeah, that's way closer. Yeah. Maybe it's supposed to be both. Bats and fangs.
Maybe these are fangs, and yeah, those are, yeah. All right. Honestly, though, best Whopper I've had in a long time.
I agree. Still not going to be frequenting Burger King, probably, but not bad.
Not that we really can.
No. It's kind of sad. Actually, the guy who owned all the Burger Kings in the Ames and Boone area died, and his family shut them all down.
Oh, shit. We were talking the other day because there's Scooby-Doo toys. There's like Scooby-Doo monster toys. We were talking the other day. Because one of my wife's best friends, Andrew, one of Andrew's best friends, is a big Scooby-Doo fan. Mm. And we were like, okay, how can she get to Burger King, like, on her lunch break on her, like, drive home or whatever. We were kind of, like, talking about that. We're like, is there a way that she could get there so she could try to get all the Scooby-Doo toys? Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of, like, counting them. Counting them through. Waukee has one.
Hmm.
There's the one by the Walmart on 73rd.
Yep.
There's the one by the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Is there? There's two out, kind of in like the Pleasant Hill area.
One by the fairgrounds. One a little bit out, actual Pleasant Hill. Yep.
Yeah. I think there's two on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one in Ankeny?
Well, I know for sure there's the one in Ankeny. There's the one on Southeast 14th by Hy-Vee and the J.C. Dean Hobby area. There's one in Altoona. It's across from the Flying J truck stop.
Oh yeah. Yep.
As far as I know, that's it.
There's one by the airport on Fleur.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never get over that way.
So yeah, like there's not even 10
in the entire area.
And I guarantee you there are probably at least 20 McDonald's, if not more.
Easily. Honestly, if you're counting all the suburbs, probably closer to like 40 McDonald's.
Yep. Just nuts. Just nuts that like Burger King was like the second biggest chain. Mm-hmm. Does kind of make me want to go and get one of these warm and see if it would be better. But honestly, pretty impressed. Pretty impressed overall.
Not bad. I'm now showing Jay the sad remaining mozzarella stick.
Aw.
No, look at it, Jay. Isn't that depressing?
Here, do you want a couple extra tenders?
Ah. No, Jay. I never eat fast food. This is an out of normal thing for me, eating a bunch of food.
No, we're the picture of health on Horror for the Holidays.
That's right, Jay. There's one thing people say about me when they see me. It's, damn, that man looks healthy.
All right, we're just going to keep munching into this into these microphones. We might as well have the Sundays and wrap this shit up.
Yeah.
He says when he takes another bite of his Whopper.
We can't stop. Is this the curse of Michael Myers?
Curse to eat jack-o'-lantern Whoppers for all eternity.
All right, here we go. I like the toppings. We got the green and the purple sprinkles. A little Frankenstein action going on. Oh, God. It's pretty liquidy.
I put these in the freezer. What the hell?
Whatever these are made of doesn't freeze, Jay.
I'm assuming like Oreo?
Gotta be.
Pretty good soft serve.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is like leaps and bounds ahead of last year's meal.
Last year's disappointment.
God, I still think about that sometimes.
It was Adam's family theme. There wasn't even an Adam's family thing last year. At least we had a shitty Wednesday season 2 this year.
It's true.
Jeff, have you seen any Wednesday? Do you have any thoughts on Wednesday?
I've seen reviews of Wednesday that have made me not want to watch it.
Fundamentally, there are moments in Wednesday that make me go, oh, this feels kind of Adam's family-esque. And then immediately, like, the Invisible Man pants is a werewolf. Mm. And I go, you don't understand what the Addams Family is supposed to be at all. No, none of this is right.
That's pretty much the consensus I've heard, yeah. Is that at some points you're like, yeah, this could be, like, an offshoot of the Addams Family universe. And then at other points it's, like, completely different.
It's the Addams Family, but at Hogwarts. Mm. But once again, the Adamses are all normal, yes, but then it's a bunch of like movie monster like students.
Yeah, that's the thing that really held me back from watching it. I'm like, okay, so Wednesday's the only weird one, and yeah, it's like a knockoff Hogwarts.
Wednesday's the only weird one because she doesn't have powers.
Odd, Jay. Odd.
It would be like sending like a normal kid to Xavier's school for gifted youngsters, yeah, and being like, Well, he's a legacy. Both is, it'd be like, I think what, Sabretooth and Mystique have a kid who doesn't have the X gene. Man, we're getting, I think, deep in the X-Men lore here. It would be like if, oh no, he's a legacy, so Xavier has to take him in because he's a legacy.
No, just some random kid shows up, mom in a minivan. I've heard this school has really good reviews. I'd like to enroll my son. Well, we can't really turn him down without alerting the government that this is all a sham, Jay.
We're gonna have to pretend like this is a school. Then you get a sitcom. No, it's just like, and then Fester apparently has electricity powers, which I don't think was ever a thing.
No.
I just, and then Pugsley, maybe, I don't know. I made 2 episodes into season 2 and I was just like, I'm done. Well, Jeff, overall, how was the spooktacular this year?
I liked it. Had fun. Thought we had a pretty strong selection this year. Mm-hmm.
I thought all the movies at least had a minimum quality level.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing was like absolutely terrible.
We didn't have like a true stinker. Like Halloween 4 was probably the closest, but
it's borderline, but not quite there.
Yeah, we're not talking about fucking.
We're not talking about this or this.
We're talking about this. No, yeah, we're certainly not talking about like a Pumpkinhead 2, where it's just like this isn't right at all.
Yes, there's no blood wings. They don't fly now, Jay.
Or certainly we didn't have a new Saturday in October.
Oh, God, yes. Thank God for that, Jay.
Well,
although I will say that killer more menacing than Michael is in this movie.
True. One thing I am very excited about, Jeff, this year, I alerted you to it. I'm not sure, if you remember, Tubi came out with a new movie called R.L. Stine's Pumpkinhead.
Yes.
And I think when we wrap up the Pumpkinhead movies, we're going to have to review R.L. Stine's Pumpkinhead as though it's part of the Pumpkinhead mythos.
Jay, we have to. It's pretty much it's obligatory at this point, Jay. We've promised to do all Pumpkinhead properties.
Yeah, so hey, listeners, you got that to look forward to after Blood Feud. We'll do...
Turns out there is another Pumpkinhead.
We'll do Pumpkinhead 2025 by R.L. Stine.
That's right.
Where, I don't know, Ed Harley's hot now.
They fly now. Maybe, what if he actually flies now, Jay?
If that Pumpkinhead can fly, you know what? Instantly better than Pumpkinhead 2 Bloodwing.
Franchise redeemed.
Anyway, I don't know if you want to get in touch with us, tell us how wrong we are about the Halloween franchise. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places, or pretty much all the places.
Most of them.
At Horror4Holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Give us a thumbs up. Leave us a review in the comments, or just give us a comment if you want to chat. We check them. All the podcatchers, give us 5 stars, 0 stars if you could, so we know you're a real sicko and actually listen to the show. We only read the 5-star reviews, so don't bother leaving anything less.
Yep. We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network, Christmas After Dark, Merry Britmas, or maybe it's Holidays After Dark. All sorts of other, Rose Such a Clatter.
Totally Rad Christmas.
Totally Rad Christmas. And speaking of Totally Rad Christmas, Jeff and I will be doing a little
blood beating off,
little circle jerk, a little with Jerry D. We'll be talking about
a blood beat, mystical boinging.
Yep. Hope this week, I believe, is when the release should come out.
Oh, nice.
So tune in to a better podcast, Totally Rad Christmas, if you want to hear us talk about a movie of mixed quality on this podcast. Maybe the most divisive movie on this podcast.
Yes, quite possible.
Otherwise, I think the plan is probably to take a week off.
Oh, yeah. We got to take spooky week off, Jay. We got too much going on. Yeah,
and then we'll be back in 2 weeks, and the wheel has spoken, and it will be the sacrifice game.
Oh, my God.
So
I don't even know what that means.
Something to look forward to, I guess.
Another thing to look forward to, I might be dropping a surprise for you on October 31st. Whoa. So look out for that.
Anyways, otherwise, thanks for listening. Like I said, we'll see you in 2 weeks for Sacrifice Game. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Mwah.
Meow.
Pumpkin sound. Pumpkin sound.
Creak. Slam. Etc. So on and so forth.
Mwah-ha-ha-ha.
I want to suck your blood.
Kelly?
Yes.
All right, I'm letting him in.
In the crib, late at night. Monster groomer, what a fright. The goblins ask, oh so grand, with vampires leading the band. Dracula waltz with ghoul with a blow. It was a happening monster show. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Caught on in a flash.
they did the Monster Mash.